You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Only positive critiques. Honest.
Various artists.
Brunel Dias is a Tamaki-based painter whose practice is interested in the transiency of everyday life and moments. Exploring the past and present, friends and family, Dias offers a site of reflection in capturing these intimate settings, bringing the viewer into her figurative paintings and the often complex interpersonal relationships between herself and her subjects. Currently showing as part of A Moment to Hold at the Arts House Trust at Par Homestead, her work sits with six other women artists engaged in painting and drawing practices: Hannah Ireland, Christina Patili, Joanna Pegler, Kate Small, Barbara Tuck, and Ruby Wilkinson. In this space, through a range of subjects, the artists each explore the intricacies of memory, both in their lucidity and haziness alike, using painting and drawing to give form to these ideas through the act of making. So I've had a corridor with Brunel Dias about the show and her overall practice.
I'm Brunel Dias. I am a painter. I work with oil specifically these days, and I'm just really interested in, large-scale work often. And, I'm interested in the way that sort of paint naturally translates, like the fluidity of paint naturally translates everyday life, which feels transient and full of motion and ephemeral. So, that's kind of how I think about my practice and kind of where I draw inspiration from, which is like just everyday surroundings. I guess my practice, I could start from the beginning. I was sort of drawn to the everyday during lockdown, inevitably, because I was sort of like living with my family. Mm-hmm. And I started to think about how the everyday, or like how I kind of highlight nostalgia more than I do the common. And because of that, I tend to like romanticize the past or the future, and I realized that I wasn't a very present person. I still am not, but I think this practice kind of helps me to be grounded in where I am, what I'm doing now, and kind of giving it importance. So that's kind of sort of the genesis of how I started thinking about the everyday and painting the people and the places and the sites that were interesting to me. And then, I guess as I was painting, I started to feel this sense of interest between the figure and the ground. And in the kind of notion of painting, but also in the notion of the environment, and then socially, where are we and what that context is, the kind of figure and its context. That to me is a very, very big kind of underpinning of the practice of like, what are the people doing in this place, or what is the subject doing in this place? Or it doesn't need to be a person necessarily, but just that main subject, the space, is kind of a very just kind of underpins my practice, maybe even the geography of it. And I sort of think back to my childhood. I came from India, and I migrated here when I was 10. And I think maybe just being a migrant, you kind of tend to be nostalgic, my childhood wasn't like, it was beautiful and everything, but I think I tended to think that things would be better, or things were better. And because we struggled a bit when we came here, I think I sort of lost that sense of like here and now, because I was kind of always pining. Mm. And so this practice has really helped me to connect to Aotearoa, actually, and appreciate the things that I have looked over and kind of seen as like, I don't know. Yeah, that's kind of where I see my practice and kind of where I see it sits in the realm of the everyday and being present.
Beautiful. That answers really beautifully what I was going to ask you next. It's so great to, I guess, hear where that interest in your subject came from, and it's so grounding within your practice. I wanted to speak to two of the works specifically in the show, A Moment to Hold at Arts House Trust at Pa Homestead, Girl So Confusing and Who Moved My Cheese, which are part of a triptych series depicting Christmas dinner at your husband's family home.
Yeah.
Food or the kitchen have kind of been, a common thread as a subject of your practice before, which again extends on that kind of intimacy and connection in everyday life you seem to be quite observant to.
Yeah.
I think it's such a lovely way as well to like connect to the viewer, because food does kind of feel like this universal language, and capturing these moments of sharing food is so often like intertwined with these personal memories, and whether they're fond memories or not, it's so grounded in that. I guess specifically with these works, was there any kind of particular reason why you wanted to capture that moment?
Yeah, you framed that really beautifully. I wanted to figure out, or I wanted to capture a sense of both the joy and also the discomfort of being in a communal environment. And I use that as a reference, but it's, that triptych was painted reflecting and during the time where I had a lot of heavy stuff happen with friendship dynamics and things, and I didn't want to ruminate in a negative way. I try, like my practice really tries not to do that in this. I want to be able to think about things realistically, but at the same time not like overly romantic nor overly negative. And so I was just thinking of it. When you paint in a sense of motion, it feels easy to kind of adapt to either mood. And I like that idea. I like that paint can do that with color or composition or whatever. And specifically with those paintings, I just wanted to capture this feeling of uncertainty, like joy for sure. But I was interested in how this pavlova was like, which was kind of in the middle of these paintings, two of them, was kind of like spotlighted. And it felt to me, it felt to me like it was on the stage, like the table was a stage and the hands were like actors. And it kind of had this beautiful sense of community, but also felt like there was a hostility in the air, or there's a kind of slight sinisterness to it. This is my interpretation of it.
It sounds very Christmas dinner.
Precisely. So I just wanted to kind of communicate that sense of awkwardness, without this sounding like, this dinner was dire, but just that sense that sometimes when you're in company, it's not always kumbaya. It's difficult, and there's a performativity about it, but I wanted the performance to happen with the food and with the knives, and the knives were out, and we were all grabbing pavlova and, dishing up, and that's kind of where I was thinking. But the titles, Who Moved My Cheese, for example, I bought this book for my husband, Hugo Prims, who's also a painter, and we were going through the similar kind of season in life and thinking about these friendships and things. And the book in itself is like this really cheesy book about dealing, I think, with conflict and change in life. And it's kind of like a way of getting out of this ruminating cycle. And so that I did want to put a more, for lack of a better word, like positive spin on it, like thinking about change in relationships, but also trying to get out. And then Girl So Confusing is kind of self-explanatory if you're like a brat girl. And I really like the kind of feud, the kind of, from what I understand, it's kind of like set up feud, like there wasn't any actual beef necessarily. There might have been like vibes that were like side eyes between allegedly Lord and Charlie XCX, but I like that the two of them like came together and sang the song, and it was like about misunderstandings and Girl, She's So Confusing, but also I didn't want to ruminate, and I liked the kind of positive or like understanding or like there's like a posture of like humbleness in that song. It's not just like scrapping each other and like bitching about each other or whatever. So that was like another way of kind of describing the feelings that I had in there.
For sure. Kind of allowing yourself to sit in that potentially uncomfortable space. But I read also, I think it was an interview with Metro that you did, and you said something about how like you're interested in food in the sense that sometimes that's the only thing that can bring people together. And I think that really comes through with I guess those ideas of misunderstanding and uncomfortability that are maybe surrounding the work. It's like, we all have food, and this is the common space together, and I think that's really beautiful as well.
Thank you.
In terms of titling work, you did speak to it there specifically with those works, but do you tend to have like a specific process with that across your practice? Does it kind of draw in similar places?
Sort of different things. I think I do tend to think about what's happening presently in my life. And so because I think we're in like the Brat Summer era, I listened to that song and I thought, this is too good. I'm just gonna steal it, shamelessly, and, all credit to Charlie XCX. And, the same with the other, like I'm quite happy with taking titles that feel very personal to me, but also universal. And I think, writing them also in a diaristic, like lower cap, like not capitalizing everything, feels like I'm not copywriting or anything. It's just things that I'm thinking about. So it sort of depends. It just depends on like what I'm listening to, what I'm reading, what I'm thinking about in that moment. And so I like that all of my practice is like based on an era or a season that I'm going through, and it the title or the colors or the references are very much off that time. And I mean, those paintings, gosh, it's been maybe a year and a half, and so that already feels like a very long time for me. And it's nice to kind of be out of that season too, and not have named them things that would have like now brought me down or like spiraled me into kind of negative space, but more like trying to see someone else's perspective as well.
And a new chapter.
We're trying.
You spoke of it before about with the subject of the pavlova in those works and kind of that relationship with light in your work, and I guess I wanted to talk a little bit more about that, particularly in relation to the other work in the show, A Posture of Confession, which depicts a woman standing in the dining room facing into a kitchen, if I'm correct.
I
love the way you explore light in your practice, and it feels quite present in that work in particular, and I think gives the space so much more shape. And I'd love to kind of hear a little bit more about, I guess, your relationship with light and the way you paint. And are you able to kind of speak to this interest in light and, I guess, in relation to that work in particular?
I guess I'm interested. It's funny with the triptych and that painting. They both deal with this quite harsh light that kind of centers something, or like the pavlova feels really white, or I think it was the light that was kind of bouncing off this dining table, the wooden dining table. I don't know, I'm really interested in this kind of, gosh, how do you pronounce it? Chiaroscuro? It's like, I think it's like an Italian word for basically harsh lighting, where the shadows are super dark and then the part of your face is really light. And they use that in film a lot to kind of show sinister moments or whatever in a character's face. So I like picking up clues from films and the way and the kind of theatrical nature of light and film. Yeah, it's funny, it's not something that I think about a lot, but in terms of light, but I do think about color that happens to be lighter or like the subject matter. So although I'm interested in figures as the subject, I think color itself or light becomes the subject matter because they're such stark or big players in the painting. Mm. They feel just as important. Like, for example, that painting, Posture of Confession, the outside is super dark. It sort of feels like a doorway.
Mm.
And it allows you to kind of voyeur into this other space, which is the kitchen and dining space.
Yeah, I did want to ask as well, in terms of your process, you've said in the past that you kind of see your paintbrush as an extension of your arms, meaning that when you're painting the people in your life and these moments, it feels like you're caressing them in a way, or I guess as this kind of act of love.
Mm.
Your work does feel, I guess, very personal and immersive in that sense. Mm. Are you able to talk me through a little bit more about what your process as a painter looks like?
Yeah, I mean, I guess just speaking to what I'd talked about regarding these difficult moments in life, that's why I don't like to paint things that I, or paint from a place that feels like spite or aggression. Like, I ultimately, painting something is, feels like I'm, because I'm a figurative painter, I like to kind of recreate some form of reality, even though it's skewed or distorted or kind of feeling ephemeral. It still feels like I'm touching someone, or like it does feel like I'm playing God to some extent, if I may. Like, I'm molding a scenario back into life. And so because it feels quite powerful, I don't like to do it if it's not out of love.
Mm.
And then, yeah, I guess that's kind of the way I think about the subject matter and kind of, how I mold them into life and kind of caress them into life. And then my process in the very, like, practical sense is, like, just taking pictures on my phone. And I've got a really bad phone, and so often the pictures aren't amazing, but they're just a way to remind me. They're like kind of sketches of, like, this is a scene. And I think because it's skewed and kind of candid or blurred, it sort of, it helps me to think about a general sense or the ambience in which I want to paint something or someone. Yeah, and then I have often just kind of gone paint to canvas. Like, I don't sketch, or I've got so many ideas in my head that I just, like, want to get it down. I wish I had the gift of more time, and I really do have, like, I really make time for my practice, but it never feels like it's enough.
Mm.
But and because I want people to experience that very same feeling, if I could, I like to paint them large scale, and I want it to be fully immersive, as though the sense that I'm trying to emulate from the canvas is, like, really enveloped, and kind of the viewer can kind of experience those same things. And so for me, it's all about the sensation and creating that sense and creating movement. And there's a fine line, between figuration and... Actually, is there a fine line? No, there isn't a fine line between figuration and abstract. There's actually many, there's a huge kind of void, or not void, but like path between them. And I like to explore all the different ways in which a figure can still be a figure and yet, or like you can say, you don't need to say everything with paint, a few strokes here and there sort of describes it.
Mm.
So that's kind of the tension that I like to, where I like to sit, and is that to sort of describe something, how little can I do to get to that place, and kind of studying the atmosphere to get to that figure, if that makes sense. And then I'm always really interested in the way the figure sits within the environment and kind of where that line between the figure and the environment is, because often it's, color is relative. So I'm interested in kind of how you can create a unity between the canvas and use the same old colors and create what feels like a very varied color scheme or palette. And so to me, those kind of conversations of light and light not just being white, it being shades, you know, and walls and, you know, foliage or people's clothing kind of reflecting and kind of weaving in and out of the background kind of still all speaks to that sense of where we are, who are we relating to, and ultimately where I sit within this environment of Pakuranga, Aotearoa, whatever, you know. So, yeah, that's kind of, in terms of process, how I think about painting is kind of creating a kind of sense of unity with as little as possible. It's funny, the work that I'm doing now is not necessarily from Aotearoa. It's like one of the first times that I'm painting my experience overseas. And this is where I'm kind of exploring the idea, like stretching the idea of familiarity outside what is familiar. And so I'm really excited to show the next body of work, but more on that another time. So yeah, it's paint never ceases to surprise me. I'm just a boring old painter, but
no, you're not.
I'm just, yeah, just a total student of it. So yeah, I'm excited to show the next body of work too, but I'm very excited to revisit these paintings in this new context with all these brilliant artists. I mean, Hannah and Christina, and very, very excited and honored.
That was artist Brunel Diaz speaking to Soph about her work currently showing at as part of A Moment to Hold at the Arts House Trust at Pa Homestead. You can see her work alongside Hannah Ireland, Christina Patayali, Joanna Pegler, Kate Small, Barbara Tuck, and Ruby Wilkinson until the 1st of March.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.